Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 1. The Supreme Lord is equal to everyone. Text 31, translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Gopya kamad bhayat kamso. Dveshach chayadayo nripa. Sambandad vrishnayak sneha. Yuyam bhaktya vayam vibho. Gopya kamad bhayat kamso. Dveshach chayadayo nripa. Sambandhat vrishanayak sneha. Yuyam bhaktya vayam vibho. Gopya kamad bhayat kamso. Dveshach chayadayo nripa. Sambandhat vrishnayak sneha. Yuyam bhaktya vayam vibho. Gopya, the gopis, kamad, out of lusty desires, bayad, out of fear, kamsaha, king kamsa, dveshad, out of envy, Chaitya Adayaha, Shishupal and others, Nripaha, kings, Sambandhat, out of kinship, Vrishnayaha, the Vrishnis or the Yadavas, Snehat, out of affection, Yuyam, you, the Pandavas, Bhaktya, by devotional service, Vayam, we, Vibho, O great king. My dear King Yudhishthir, the gopis by their lusty desires, Kamsa by his fear, Shishupal and other kings by envy, the Yadus by their familial relationship with Krishna, you Pandavas by your great affection for Krishna, and we, the general devotees, by our devotional service, have obtained the mercy of Krishna. Purport. Different persons achieve different types of mukti. Sayujya, Salokya, Sarupya, Samipya, and Sarshti, according to their own intense desire, which is called bhava. Thus, it is described here that the gopis, by their lusty desires, which were based upon their intense love for Krishna, became the most beloved devotees of the Lord. Although the gopis at Vrindavan expressed their lusty desires in relationship with a paramour, Parakiya Rasa, they actually had no lusty desires. This is significant of spiritual advancement. Their desires appeared lusty, but actually they were not the lusty desires of the material world. Chaitanya Charitamrita compares the desires of the spiritual and material world to gold and iron. Both gold and iron are metal, but there is a vast difference in their value. The lusty desires of the gopis for Krishna are compared to gold, and material lusty desires are compared to iron. Kamsa and other enemies of Krishna merged into the existence of Brahman. But why should Krishna's friends and devotees have the same position? Krishna's devotees attain the association of the Lord as his constant companions, either in Vrindavan or in the Vaikuntha planets. Similarly, although Narada Muni wanders in the three worlds, he has exalted devotion for Narayana, Aishwaryaman. The Vrishnis and Yadus and the father and mother of Krishna in Vrindavan all have familial relationships with Krishna. Krishna's foster father and mother in Vrindavan, however, are more exalted than Vasudev and Devaki. Gopyak kamad bayat kamso dveshach chaidadayo nripa sambandhat vrishnayak snehat yuyam bhaktya vayam vibho. My dear King Yudhishthira, the gopis bear by their lusty desires, Kamsa by his fear, Shishupal and other kings by envy, the Yadus by their familial relationship with Krishna, you Pandavas by your great affection for Krishna, and we the general devotees by our devotional service have obtained the mercy of Krishna. Om agyanati mirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale soyam rupa karamayam dadati svapadantikam. Hey Krishna karuna sindho dina bandho jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namostate tapta kanchana gaurangi radhe vrindavaneshwari vrishabhanu sutadevi pranamami hari priye vansha kalpatrubhyascha kripa sindubhyae vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this verse is the continuation of yesterday's verse. There it is said, or the last sentence is, I shall now explain how one receives Krishna's mercy simply by concentrating one's mind upon Him. And then this is said, my dear King Yudhishthira, the different examples are given, the gopis by Kama, Kamsa by Bhaya, then the Chaidya, the king of Chedi, Shishupal, by Dvesha, and the Rishnis, Sambandha, the Pandavas by Sneha, and all of us by Bhakti, Jai. I would like to go back to verse 26, which is the first verse. Actually, this is this whole part where Shuka Narada Muni, he points out that there's no difference apparently between the different types of ways of connecting with Krishna. The doubt raised by Maharaj Parikshit was that in the last canto, sixth canto, there's the description how the Lord helps the demigods against the demons. And therefore he was wondering, if it is said that the Lord is equal to everyone, why does he take sides? So Shukadeva Goswami, he says that, first of all, this question is excellent, wonderful question. And then he will cite, or he will quote Narada Muni, who has replied this question before, in the presence of everyone taking part in the yagya. This will refer to the Rajasuya sacrifice, where Shishupal insulted Krishna, and then he was killed by the Sudarshan Chakra, and everybody saw how the soul entered into Krishna's body. And the question was raised, how is it possible for Shishupal and Dantavakra, in the presence of many exalted persons, to enter very easily into the body of Krishna, whose nature is difficult to attain? And undoubtedly, this is very wonderful. And I'm disturbed, I'm confused how this is possible. So Narada Muni, in that case, they were asking him, you know everything, please explain. So in text 26, Narada Muni says that by enmity or by devotional service, by fear, by affection or by lusty desires, by all of these or any one of them, if a conditioned soul somehow or other concentrates his mind upon the Lord, the result is the same. For the Lord, because of his blissful position, is never affected by enmity or friendship. Now this sounds already, as an answer, more puzzling. But then Narada Muni continues to say that by devotional service one cannot achieve such intense absorption in thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as one can through enmity toward Him. That is my opinion. Yes, we are laughing. Do we agree? And if we don't agree, how can we not agree with Narada Muni? So therefore, this is very it's a very serious philosophical consideration that these are verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So if I take these verses and I, in my preaching, I will present them to you or to somebody as an argument that, I mean, maybe it will be better to become an enemy of Krishna, which is probably easier for us. We already have the mentality, yeah? Being envious and want to be also Ishvara. So, and Narada Muni says, yes, it's a good idea, because I think this, you cannot, this is, you can easily, very much more, it's much more easier to become intensely absorbed in thought of the Lord by becoming his enemy. Okay, so Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, first thing he, because he knows our mentality, first thing he says, from this verse one should not conclude that because Krishna is unaffected by favorable prayers or unfavorable blasphemy, one should therefore blaspheme the Supreme Lord. Hmm? This is not the regulative principle. Bhakti yoga means anakulyena Krishna anushilanam, which is favorable devotional service. Now, some similar confusion can arise from the statement that the gopis, by their lusty desires, also achieved the supreme goal. And therefore, in the purport proper, the first half, which is actually more than half, the first paragraph, deals with this question. Then he says that it is described here that the gopis, by their lusty desires, became the most beloved devotees of the Lord. And then he says that although the gopis at Vrindavan expressed their lusty desires in relationship with the paramour, Parakiya, they actually had no lusty desires. And then Srila Prabhupada refers to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this section or this verse which he refers to, that gold and iron are different metals and kama and prema are compared to gold, prema is compared to gold and kama to iron, we find in the fourth chapter where the reasons are given for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, and it, we can read from there to see what it actually says there. So this is text 164. It's Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami who is giving the definition, and Prabhupada many times quotes the next verse, we will see, as a definition of what is lusty desire or material desire or lust, kama, and what is spiritual love, prema. So the, I will try to Bengali, those who speak Bengali, you close your ears. Kama prema dohakar vibana lakshan loha ara hema yoche svarupe vilakshan. Lust and love have different characteristics, just as iron and gold have different natures. It's a very brief purport, one, two sentences. Prabhupada says one should try to discriminate between sexual love and pure love, for they belong to different categories with a gulf of difference between them. They are as different from one another as iron is from gold. And the next verse is the one that Srila Prabhupada quite often quotes in this connection. Atmendriya priti vansha tare bali kam and Krishnendriya priti ichcha dhare prem nam. It's okay? Getting there. Translation of that verse is that the desire to gratify one's own senses, atma indriya, priya, priti, that is kama, lust. And Krishna indriya priti, to want to satisfy, give pleasure to the senses of Krishna, that is called prema. Now the purport is very instructive. We can read that. Srila Prabhupada writes as follows. The revealed scriptures describe pure love as follows. And he gives the Sanskrit. If there is an ample reason for the dissolution of a conjugal relationship, and yet such a dissolution does not take place, such a relationship of intimate love is called pure. The predominated gopis were bound to Krishna in such pure love. For them, there was no question of sexual love based on sense gratification. The only engagement in life was to see Krishna happy in all respects, regardless of their own personal interests. They dedicated their souls only for the satisfaction of the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. There was not the slightest tinge of sexual love between the gopis and Krishna. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita asserts with authority that sexual love is a matter of personal sense enjoyment. All the regulative principles in the Vedas pertaining to desires for popularity, fatherhood, wealth, and so on are different phases of sense gratification. Acts of sense gratification may be performed under the cover of, and now comes a long list, please pay attention, take note. If there's something you don't agree with, then we can discuss that. So I repeat, acts of sense gratification may be performed under the cover of public welfare, nationalism, religion, altruism, ethical codes, biblical codes, health directives, fruitive action, bashfulness, tolerance, personal comfort, liberation from material bondage, progress, family affection, or fear of social ostracism or legal punishment. But all these categories are different subdivisions of one substance, sense gratification. All such good acts are performed basically for one's own sense gratification, for no one can sacrifice his personal interest while discharging these much advertised moral and religious principles. But above all this is a transcendental stage. In which one feels himself to be only an eternal servitor of Krishna, the absolute personality of Godhead. All acts performed in this sense of servitude are called pure love of God because they are performed for the absolute sense gratification of Sri Krishna. However, any act performed for the purpose of enjoying its fruits or results is an act of sense gratification. Such actions are visible sometimes in gross and sometimes in subtle forms. So, what's the time? Maybe we can start to discuss this. I hope there's somebody who's not agreeing, or there may be some doubt, so we have sufficient time for talking about it. Yes?
I do not understand how tolerance
is acceptable. Okay. Well, there's others also. The question is, I don't understand why tolerance is mentioned in the list. I see also other things that maybe I'm wondering why they're in the list. Religion, health directives. So ethical codes. And what's bad? What's so bad about it? Oh, Maria Lakshmi Muni. Yeah, can we have the microphone? That would be good, so I don't have to repeat it. Thank you. Yeah, can the door be closed or somebody try to? Well, it is closed. They can turn down there.
I think in general, the list is that if we make our spiritual decisions based on these material considerations as the primary motivator for the decision, then it's sense gratification. So Arjun, for instance, at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, he did almost every one of those things in some way or another. But he was, Krishna said, you're speaking like a learned man, but actually you're acting like a fool. So when you read the list, that was what I thought. And tolerance, you know, sometimes even we see amongst devotees, we want to be nice to everybody. And so how to bridge that gap of doing the needful when it may not appear to be nice to somebody, and then take the reaction, which may come as a personal affront because somebody didn't like it.
Right. I mean, Prabhupada, in the sentence after that, we can hear that again and think about it. It's two parts. He says, all such good acts are performed basically for one's own sense gratification. That's one part. And then no one can sacrifice his personal interest while discharging these much advertised moral and religious principles. I think that's, for me, that's the main point, because the gopis are always cited as an example of complete self-sacrifice. Anything, everything is sacrificed for Krishna's pleasure, especially if you want to, you know, get the full, deep picture, you read the last part of Shikshastakam Prayas and Chaitanya Charitamrita, which expresses Srimati Radharani's mood, where it goes to the extreme of saying, if my unhappiness brings Krishna happiness, then this is my greatest happiness. Which is actually that you sacrifice, apparently, for the outsiders, I mean, you know, what are you doing? You know, you're foolish. You don't think of your self-interest. If in this world somebody doesn't think of his self-interest or doesn't try to cultivate his self-esteem, like being humble is completely ridiculous for a materialistic person. It's a quality that's completely out. You know, becoming humble means you are the fool number one. You have to get self-esteem, you know, love yourself. Anyway, so that's my take on whatever, it sounds very good. So tolerance, what about tolerance? Well, if you tolerate, for what reason are you tolerating? That's the question. For example, there may be some situations from that other point of view, for Krishna's pleasure or for the interest of the Lord, you should not be tolerant at all. Like Prabhupada said, you should become like fire. The devotee is humble, but let's say somebody begins to insult or blaspheme or whatever, then if you just stand there and don't say anything, then you become implicated and it actually ruins your spiritual life. At least you should go away. But the best would be if you can argue and, you know, cut down that whatever person is doing that, and show the others who are just listeners and who may be innocent that this person is wrong. So one should not tolerate necessarily. And from the other point of view, the materialistic point of view, yes, you should be just tolerant, you know, just peace. Everything is peace. You don't say anything, you know, and don't become upset. Why are you becoming upset? Then you're not a yogi. Like, I remember when we were in Amsterdam with Srila Prabhupada. Oh my God. The chapter is called in my book The Amsterdam Mess, because it was a mess. For those who don't know, just very briefly, the idea was to install Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. Today, these deities are in Radha Desh, if you don't know. So they were not prepared at all. I mean, anyway, so when Prabhupada, just when he came in, he already saw the scene. He said, what is this? There were no fruits, there were no flowers. There were practically no bathing facilities for the deities. I mean, there wasn't practically. So he called Akshaya at that time. And he said, you know, who is it? And I'm not going to repeat all the details. And Prabhupada became very upset. He became very angry. So some, I mean, there are different devotees who give that testimony. And there were, because we are all neophytes. I just had become initiated a few weeks earlier. So 72 in Amsterdam. So the devotees also said, when I saw Prabhupada like that, I was wondering, you know, he's supposed to be, you know, transcendental and a yogi, and so why does he become angry? And actually one very new bhakta, he said, chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada took his feedback and actually started. I mean, what to do? But then they did finally, the deities were installed, you know. But it's not that you said, okay, it's Krishna's desire, what can be done, you know, doesn't matter. No, you know, when things are not right, then you may become angry. And I'm sure Hari Sari Prabhu can give examples of Prabhupada becoming angry, a few of them. And one may wonder, why does he become angry? No? So I think the mic has gone over there. Is it?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. While you were speaking about tolerance, something came to my mind, and I just wanted to add, if that's okay with you. It's about, I'm thinking, how tolerance can be a form of sense gratification. Mm-hmm. It's like Gandhi's idea that ahimsa is the goal of life.
Exactly, the same thing.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, yeah. So, what else? Just pass it quickly.
I was wondering about the point of lust, where it says gopis approach Krishna through lust.
Can you speak up?
And we hear in the verse that the gopis approach Krishna through lust.
Uh-huh.
But as we hear in the purport, it's not really lust.
Right.
So I was wondering, from a conditioned soul's perspective, how they can engage all these qualities they've still got, envy, lust, greed, all these things, how they can engage them and somehow or other approach Krishna.
That's like similar to yesterday's question. What about engaging envy? So actually you can't. These have to be given up. They are the enemies, ripus. Now when they are manifest in the spiritual realm, well, here the same words are used, but they're different in quality. That's the whole point. Like this kama and prema, right? They are metals, so there's some similarity in their, how you say, in their nature, in one sense, because metal is different from, let's say, cotton. It's hard, and there's some other things that gold and iron, for example, will have in common. But then there is a big difference. And that's the what Prabhupada emphasized, or what is also said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that although it appears like lust, because the energy behind it is the same, it's the pleasure potency manifesting in one way or the other. And when it manifests in the material world through matter, then that's not desirable. And the only way you can engage it, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, dharma virudho kamusmi, I am lust only when it's not against religious principles. And that's a very narrow, actually, if you want to really define it, it means, as Prabhupada said, and it's very clear, you can only engage in this kind of lust if you want to have a child. That's it. Anything else is a little different. And then there are gradations, obviously. You know, from one who's completely debauchee and lusty every second practically, to one who is very controlled, but it's still not according to Dharma. So anyway, you can, you know, think about that. But actually, no. Lust, envy, greed, anger, all these things, kama, loba, kama, krodha, loba, mada, moha, matsarya, six enemies, they have to be given up. Now, how does, for example, envy manifest in the spiritual world? Well, there's two camps, the left wing and the right wing, and they compete, and they don't like each other, apparently. We have some anecdotes from the sixth, you know, when I think one of the Goswamis received a cup made from leaves from the kunja of Chandravali. He threw it away. I don't like to have this, you know, because they're not in this Lalita, they're not in the, you know. Anyway, so this is, but for us, this is not so easy to understand. I mean, we can get some idea. And what is the idea behind it? Why is this existing? Because Krishna likes to have, you know, different the variety of the spice of life. Sometimes you want to be with a girl that's very submissive, and sometimes you want to be with a girl who's, you know, just speaks up and responds. You know, I mean, it depends on the situation. If it's always submissive, you say it's a little boring. You know, can't you speak up? And if it's always against, then you know, come on, you know, why don't you? I mean, whoever has been married, we know this. I mean, I had been married for 32 years, so. But this is, and it's desirable. I mean, if you know, if my wife would always have been like this, you know, say, come on, you know, manifest a little bit more of spirit, spice, you know, or whatever you call it in English, fest, you know. And if it's only always like this, you say, and then sometimes it happens that, you know, those husbands look for a girl that's a little bit more fiery. Anyway, so in the spiritual world, that is the two camps, Chandravali, Radharani, left wing and right wing. And there are so many different personalities amongst the gopis. Like if we have here the Ashtasakhis, each Sakhi is a different aspect of Srimati Radharani's, you know, devotion to Krishna. Different character, different mood, and Krishna likes all of it. Like different kinds of fruits, right? There's some who are a little bit more acidy and some are very sweet, but if it's only all the time, only sweet, 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 it's too much sweet, you know, I need some change. So this is how that manifests. So this is not really envy, but it's a kind of competitive spirit. In the material world, it manifests as envy. And that has to be given up. So lust is the same, lust and love. So, now what we can see, another aspect very briefly, from these discussions and from the verses we have seen, that it, although Shastra, whatever is said, is like, in Spanish they say, va misa, it's, you know, this is the truth, the absolute truth, but one has to be able to take into consideration other aspects or other verses or whatever, how you want to look at it, to understand. Otherwise, this verse 26 or 20 and 27, where Narada Muni says that, then we become confused. And the first thing, therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, one should not come to the wrong conclusion, because it would be a wrong conclusion. Although apparently the verse is very clear that the result is the same. That's what Narada Muni says. Whether by enmity, by fear, by affection, by lusty desires, some or other, you concentrate on Krishna, the result is the same. Yes and no, it's not the same. Apparently it's the same. And now he gives, in today's verse, he gives these examples of the different personalities who obtained the mercy of Krishna. But still, there's a difference. So therefore, even the last sentence here Prabhupada says, he speaks about Krishna's familial relationships, that the foster father, Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, they are more exalted than Vasudeva and Devaki. Even there, we have small, slight differences, although from the tattva point of view, there's no difference. Therefore, one has to be very careful when considering all these different topics, because sometimes we can easily become confused. And that is generally motivated, or the reason behind this is our personal motivation. I'll give you one example, without mentioning names. Not long ago, some months ago, one of our senior preachers, he said the following, that the public chanting, which means hearing for the common people, actually has very little effect, and therefore it's questionable whether we should continue to do that. And to support this statement, he quoted the last verse of chapter 17 of Bhagavad Gita. I don't know whether we are familiar with this verse. And he himself said, well, probably nobody except for me knows this verse. There Krishna says that, actually we should read the real, what Krishna says. Let's see where it is. Bhagavad Gita 17, the last verse. I'll give it to you immediately. I mean, this is a very... I'm bringing this up because you will see the point. Anything done as sacrifice, charity or penance without faith in the Supreme, O son of Pritha, is impermanent. It is called asat, and it is useless both in this life and the next. So, the conclusion was... Therefore, I'm saying this. The conclusion was that chanting, or a person who hears, he falls into that category because he has no faith. Ashradasya, that's the Sanskrit. If a person without faith hears the holy name, practically it's useless. It has no effect, or very little effect. Now the question is this applicable? What's wrong with this conclusion? I'm asking you. What is wrong with this conclusion? I just give you a hint. The chapter is called Divisions of Faith. And Krishna describes the different types of sacrifice, charity, penance in terms of the three modes of material nature. And this verse refers to sacrifice, charity, and penance in ignorance, in tamas, or ashrada, without faith. Now, Prabhupada in the purport is even stronger. He says, anything done without the transcendental objective, whether it be sacrifice, charity, or penance, is useless. Therefore, in this verse, it is declared that such activities are abominable. I mean, Prabhupada is even stronger. So, again, is that applicable? I mean, what's then, if I conclude that, you know, Harinam, somebody who hears Harinam in one of our big cities in the world or anywhere, it's useless practically. It has very little effect. And therefore, why do it? Probably will be difficult to get the mic. Yeah, but still, well, that's nice, but is it effective?
Well, it seems to be, because so many of us were Jagai and Madai. I remember the first time I heard the devotees chant, I was pretty much in the category of Jagai and Madai, and somehow or other, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, I'm here.
That's a good argument. Any other? Oh, I got 3, 4, 5, 6. But Lakshmi only was first, and the microphone is very near. Have her first, and then we give it over to that side. No, please give it to Lakshmi Muni.
Well, two things. One thing comes to mind is an experience in New York on Henry Street, where someone presented Srila Prabhupada with a tray of white balls. And he popped one in his mouth and he said, simply wonderful. And then we proceeded to explain that these were being distributed on the trains in New York to people in New York, and Prabhupada said, they will become simply wonderful. And then he said, you are simply wonderful, the process is simply wonderful, and they will become simply wonderful. So there are certain things like the holy name and Mahaprasadam, mercy of the pure devotee, that supersede the three modes of material nature.
That's it. Thank you. That is what I was looking for. And actually, just while they give the microphone, in that same talk, not only did that person say that the holy name and the chanting was like, well, there's some effect, but it's very little, or he said, or taking prasadam. And he said, he referred to prasadam also, that people will eat some spiritual food, and it's okay, but it doesn't have really, I don't know, it doesn't have the effect maybe that we should expect, or that we think. I think what he wanted to say is that we think, or that devotees in general think, that it's overrated, the effect of chanting and prasadam. Yes, Maharaj.
Another little point is in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya lists out the five very special devotional activities, sadhu, sangha, nama, kirtan, bhagavat, shravan, matura, vas, srimurtir, shradaya, sevan. Then when he's elaborating on these in different ways, just immediately after that verse, then he makes the point that these activities are just so amazing that even just a little bit of any one of them, even if it's done without faith, may immediately bring a person to the level of bhava. It's right there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, if anyone wants to check. Not that it just, in every case, it's just going to bring everyone to the level of bhava. But it may.
But in every case, there's some effect.
Well, yes, of course.
Sure.
I mean, up to bringing a person to the level of bhava.
Yeah.
That's just...
Well, it's important because the main argument focuses on ashrada. That somebody without faith,
they hear
the holy name, they eat, and there's some effect, but it's very little effect. Svalpamba. But even svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahatovayat. Even that, even if it's little, what's the problem? Right? I mean, even if it's little, and then little by little, as they say, little by little, it grows, and it's the first step. So what's the wrong with it? I mean, it's very unfortunate that these things are being propagated. And people become confused, therefore I'm bringing it up.
Haridas Thakur told Lord Chaitanya that anyone who hears the chanting will be benefited, even the non-moving living entities will all be liberated.
Right.
And Lord Chaitanya was concerned that, well, if everyone is liberated, the material world will become empty. And then Haridas Thakur said, no, there's an unlimited stock of living entities still waiting to become active who are sleeping. So also there's a Namashtakam by Rupa Goswami that says, I forget the Twamanadarad, and I forget the Sanskrit, but he's saying that even if you chant derisively, the holy name will take away all your sins.
Yeah. Well, the whole, before the sixth canto, the first three chapters about Ajamil, that's the whole point. He didn't really chant with faith and hear with faith. Just, because it wasn't offensive, therefore he was benefited and he became liberated ultimately. So thank you. That's, I think it for anybody who is a little sincere, that will be clear, that there's no question about it, that we should continue with our Harinams and Prasadam distribution. Yes.
In Harinam Chintamani, Haridas Thakur explains to Lord Chaitanya that when someone hears just the holy name, it's the level of Namabhasa. And even he just saying the holy name out of a joke, out of even some kind of criticizing or making fun, this Namabhasa Namabhasa is so powerful that it destroys even Parapta karma.
Well, that's Tirthankara.
Yeah, I was thinking another argument that if you have faith or not in a fire, you will get burned anyway.
That's what Prabhupada's example is, exactly. Well, I think the point was that, yes, this person will not deny that there's an effect, but it's very little, and therefore maybe it's not worth it. I mean, or worth it to do it the way we do it. I don't know. It might be a good question, yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. She said that most of us probably started without faith, and here we are. That's definitely true, as Mataji said. Yeah. Who started with faith? I mean, and Prabhupada mentioned that actually when we do public programs, there was an argument, Srila Prabhupada refers to that, Krishna himself, he says in Bhagavad Gita, one should not preach this science to those who are not devotional, right? And so one may criticize or one may question, so why are you doing public programs with people who have no faith? And Prabhupada says, we will create faith. But even by doing kirtan, you create faith in the heart, at least of some. That's also a point. Not maybe of everyone, but at least of some. And even those who are inimical or indifferent, like the trees, and they also get benefited, although they don't know it, although they don't want it. That's the power of the holy name. Actually, if we think about these verses, that if Shishupal, because of envy, can get benefited, then what to speak of somebody who is just indifferent, walking by the Harinam, he has no interest, but he hears it. He's not really envious necessarily, but of course he will be benefited. Exactly.
It's not like that you have got the faith, or you have got the faith. Krishna has to come out, Krishna be here. It's the responsibility of the devotees.
Oh, thank you. That's a very important point. Yes. Yeah, we have to. Right, right. We have to become more faithful. Because then our chanting will have more effect. And of course, if a Mayavadi chants, we shouldn't even hear it. That's true. Yeah? But if the devotees are sincere, and we suppose that Satam, most devotees who are here, they are sincere. If they chant, their chanting will have an effect, definitely, without any doubt. So, thank you so much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All right.